please. It's great to have you here tonight. Church family, guests that are here, family and friends that have traveled to be with us tonight to celebrate Christ. And it's going to be a special night already. I think that's the first ever baptism I've had on Christmas Eve. In fact, we'll have another baptism tomorrow morning, celebrating another person who's given their heart to Christ, a teenager who's done that. And so we look forward to tomorrow morning. For all those who are guests, welcome, especially those who are first-time guests. We ask that if you would, to take a card that's in the seat in front of you, if you'll fill that out and place that just in the seat when we're through tonight, and we'd appreciate you doing that. Also, you can use that card as a prayer request. And on the back, you'll write down a prayer request, and we'll get those also at the end of the service. Just leave those in the pew, and then I'll pray over those cards. Thank you for the privilege of allowing me to be able to do that and pray specifically about the needs that are in your life. Well, we've got a lot of things that we're going to do in the service, but I think it'd be best if we all just take a moment, let's stand and greet those who are near you and welcome them. Probably they're a member, you don't even know it. Isn't it great to see all these kids? Kids, well, tonight I'm going to read the Christmas story here in just a few moments. But I want you to tell me things that you remember about the Christmas story. Okay? What happened, especially, well, let's talk about just what happened, all right? You can tell me one thing that happened, not the whole story. Yes, he came because God had to have a son who would forgive all men their sins. That's it. That's the whole thing right there. What? There is a star in the sky. Yes, wise men went to visit him. All right. Think about that. We'll come back. That's right. An angel came to Mary and told her she would give birth to the king, and the angel came to Joseph as well. All right? Okay, so one night, something happened in the sky. And something happened in the sky. Okay, what? Wait, let's see if somebody knew. All right? Angels came and they spoke to the shepherds in the field right outside of Bethlehem. I had the honor this past year of being there in that area. The shepherds' fields are still the exact same as they were 2,000 years ago. And you can really understand what it was like that night when that happened. Okay? Yes. That's right. Now, what did the shepherds do after they heard the angels? Two things happened. Were they were sore afraid, not just afraid, that's right. And then what did they do? The shepherds went to Bethlehem, exactly. Probably the youngest person up here got it right. And why did they go to Bethlehem? That's right. I heard several of them. There is a baby. And that baby's name was? Jesus. All right. That's right. Now, we'll stop on that note. The Prince of Peace. That's another name for him. That's, in fact, that's a great segue to my next sermon series after Christmas. It's going to be about, well, I want to preach on Jonah. I'm going to go through the book of Jonah. And that's about going deep in our walk with God, and then I'm going to talk about the names of God. That'll be great. I'm looking forward to that. Okay, yes. Lord Christ is another. Now, let's read. I will read the story. Okay, here we go. Did you want to say something? Son of God. That's right. Okay, here we go. Luke chapter 2. In the same region, Shepherds were staying out in the fields, keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today a Savior who is Messiah, or Christ the Lord, was born for you in the city of David. This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to people he favors." When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the feeding trough. That's what a manger is. After seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. Shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard, just as they had been told. Now that's one of the greatest lines in all the Bible. That God had said, this is what's going to happen, and it happened just as they were told. And so God will give you a promise. God will speak to your heart, and He's going to tell you this is what He's going to do in your life. And He is going to fulfill that promise. And I'll talk more about that in just a few moments, okay? Let's pray. Father, I thank you that we can pause for just a moment in a busy season. Slow down. Get away from all the noise. Just be here in this quiet place, reflecting upon you. What you did, God. For us, something we could not do for ourselves. And Lord, I pray that we'll not lose the meaning of Christmas, we'll not lose the purpose of why you came, and that we'll live in that purpose. I pray you help these children come to understand what that means at the appropriate time as you ordain them, and that they will grow up to be godly men and women will serve you all the days of their lives, glorifying you and praising you as the shepherds did many years ago. Not just at Christmas time, but every day of their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Now, we need to remember that the reason why Jesus Christ came was because of the mission that God had for him. That was ordained before anything ever was established. And the reason why he was born was to die. You know, that's just an amazing thought to know that Jesus knew that he was coming to die. That he would live 30 years in obscurity and then only have a 3-year ministry. And then he would die on a cross, be buried, raised again on the third day, and that would be it. And he would go away. But God knew that Jesus would continue his ministry. In Acts chapter 2, you read that the Holy Spirit came. And when the Holy Spirit came, it enabled us to continue to live the life that Christ came to give us. And still, all these years later. And one day, Christ is coming back. And the same Bible that predicted his first coming, which came true, talks about a second coming that is going to come true. We don't know when. We know some things about it. We don't know all the details. It doesn't matter. The question is, are we in a position with God that we're ready if that were to happen tonight or whenever? But when we come and take the Lord's Supper, we reflect upon what Jesus did for us while he was here on the cross. the bread representing his body. The scripture I'll read in just a moment says that his body was given for us. It wasn't broken. The bread was broken. But his body was not broken to fulfill an Old Testament prophecy that not one of his bones would be broken on the cross. So as you read the accounts, you'll realize that once again, God fulfilled that prophecy. He was right about what would happen. The juice that we drink, the fruit of the vine, as the Bible calls it, is a reflection of the blood of Jesus Christ. The bread representing his body, that was our substitution. Like the juice that we drink, representing his blood that was shed for us. So let me read the account that we find. Actually, I'm going to ask our men to come. Let's go ahead and come. Men, if you're, or you're up, do it from the back, right? All right, Bob, I want you to come. And Bob Sheets. Bob serves as our chairman of deacons. And I'm going to ask Bob to lead us in a word of prayer. Now, kids, I want all the kids to look this way for just a moment, all right? Now, we're going to hand out a tray that's going to have a cracker and a little cup of juice. Now, when that comes by, and if your mom and dad say, don't take it, then you just need to do what mom and dad say, right? This isn't the time to have a theological discussion about why or why you can't take the Lord's Supper right now, okay? Just go along with what your parents are saying, and parents, I know, need to help with that. For those who are guests, if you have made a commitment to Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you're welcome to observe the Lord's Supper. It's his table. And so we invite you to join us as well. But Bob, you lead us in a word of prayer now, if you would, as we take these elements.
Father, we just come and realize how unworthy we are, but how loving and gracious and kind and merciful you are in sending your Son, Jesus Christ. We celebrate his birth at this time of the year, but he came to die. Die on the cross for our sin, to be buried, and to rise again, that we can have life with you. Lord, we just look forward to your coming again, and we will rejoice and be in your presence forever. And tonight, we just thank you for how much you love us and how much you care for us. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Well, now, this past Sunday, we looked at the prophecies in the Old Testament. We were studying Christmas through the ages. We looked at Christmas in 2016. We looked at it in Bethlehem. We looked at it last Sunday in the Old Testament. And this Sunday, it will be Christmas before creation, tomorrow. Now, when we looked last week, we looked at the prophecies in the Old Testament and how they were fulfilled in the New Testament. Remember I said that there are critics who would say, well, what happened is that the New Testament fulfillment, the verses about the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy, were interpolated into the Old Testament. And so in order to make sure that the Old Testament prophecies happened, they just took the events of the New Testament and set it in the Old Testament for it to come true. And we learned that that's practically impossible because for over 400 years, the Old Testament had already been circulated. Scholars especially knew what the Old Testament said, and if anybody added anything to the Old Testament to make it say something that it did not already say, they would immediately recognize it, much like our Declaration of Independence. We've had it now for 200 years, and if anybody tried to add something to the Declaration of Independence, we would all know it, particularly constitutional scholars and others would understand exactly what has happened. So that's why we know that God's Word is reliable, is trustworthy, is true because of how Christ was fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. Now here's one that I'm going to give you as it relates to the light. Isaiah chapter 9 says this, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light on those living in the land of darkness. A light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased its joy. The people have rejoiced before you as they rejoice at harvest time and as they rejoice when dividing spoils. For you have shattered their burdensome yoke and the rod on their shoulders, the staff of their oppressor, just as you did on the day of Midian." For the trampling boot of battle and the blood of garments of war will be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child will be born for us, a son will be given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. The dominion will be vast, and its prosperity will never end. He will reign on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish and sustain it with justice and righteousness from now on and forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Well, did that happen? We find these words in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through Him, and apart from Him, not one thing was created that has been created. Life was in Him, and that life was the light of men. That light shines in the darkness, yet the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man named John who was sent from God. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. The true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was created through him. Yet the world did not recognize him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. The Word became flesh, took up residence among us. We observed his glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him and exclaimed, "This was the one of whom I said, the one coming after me has surpassed me, because he existed before me. Indeed, we have all received grace after grace from his fullness. For although the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the one and only Son, the one who is at the Father's side. He has revealed him." Now what that says is that the world was in darkness. Everyone was part of the problem. Everyone suffered because of the problem. And not one person could solve the problem. Not one, as Paul Tripp says. Now, when you think about this light that came into the world, I mean, when it says Jesus is the light of the world, what does that really mean? It's not obviously talking about the physical light in physical darkness. It's talking about spiritual light in spiritual darkness. But what exactly is that light? It's God's grace. That's what that light is. That grace has come into the darkness and has given us the light that we need spiritually. To know God and to live the Christ life that he came to give us. So when we think about our circumstances, there might be somebody here tonight who would say, "Pastor, the light's almost out. It's been tough. 2016 has been a tough year. And 2017 may not look much better." Some of you know Catherine Marshall. She was married to a man named Peter Marshall, who was a great pastor. And she wrote a biography about his life, A Man Called Peter. A movie was made by that. She had a series made from a book she wrote called Christy. A very godly woman, deep in her faith. But there was a point in her life when the light was fading away. A godly woman. And it began, she said, when her infant grandchild died. A circumstance beyond her control. This is what she said. She called it the dark night of the soul. "Inside, I am dry and lonely, unable to accomplish anything, really, just going through the motions of life, barely able to do that. It is more than a dry period. I've been through those before and did not lose the presence. This is darkness, deadness, awful in the way it numbs you, makes you cold and indifferent. You do the very things, Say the very word, and no, you should not frighten him. But she didn't give up. She kept on praying. She kept on reading God's word. That's all she knew to do. And then in her journal, sometime later, she wrote this. A feeling rises up inside me that little trickles of praise are now running together, merging, beginning to form a small river of praise. It began mechanically, yet now has increasingly the feel of spontaneous emotion. Slowly but surely, my mind is being cleansed. Rich, beautiful, positive words are taking over, chasing away the negative ones. I am being filled with your light. Lord Jesus, how radiant and glorious is the light of yours. Suddenly I felt the living presence of Jesus. What joy to have this again in my life. That's what the light of the world can do for us. Man, I'm going to ask you to lower the light a little bit if you would. And I want you to think of this one light as the light of Jesus Christ. Men, if you'll come now. And he gathered 12 men and he told them, you're the light of the world. He's told all of us in Christ that we're that light. But those men took the light and think about it. Just the 3 years of ministry that Jesus had, the impact that he's had on the world. And so tonight, as we go through this time of lighting our candles, may we reflect upon that one true light, Jesus Christ, who transforms our lives, who takes us out of the darkness. What did Paul say? We've been rescued. We've been transferred from the domain of darkness to the kingdom of the Son he loves, Jesus Christ. I want to ask tonight as you leave quietly in a reverent spirit attitude. As we make our way out into the foyer, you'll place the candles and the baskets that are there. I pray that God will give you a wonderful, merry, merry Christmas. I love you.